Hola, Madrid Stuff. Welcome to our preview for the UCL round of 16, second leg, where we host RB Leipzig at the Bernabeu. Today's episode is sponsored by Manscaped, the pioneers in male grooming. So if you want to score golazos like Brahim, the previous first leg, feel totally confident, head over to manscaped.com and use the code LBR20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. That's LBR20 at manscaped.com. Today, we're joined by Justin, who runs the RBL Talk podcast, which is the best English RB Leipzig podcast out there. And of course, we have the OG back in the house, the big man himself, Farouk. How are you doing, guys? Justin, how are you doing?
Very good. Thank you for having me. Yeah, 4:32 in the morning.
Not too shabby at all. The commitment.
Yeah.
Farouk, how are you, man?
Yeah, man, all good, man. Really, you know, excited.
Really, you're all good after what happened at the Mestalla?
Bro, actually, you know, what happened at the Mestalla was, you know, was a farce. But again, you know, it goes to show, I think the guys already pinpointed, like, you know, it goes to show the level of, you know, the refereeing that we have in Spain. It's such a shame, honestly, you know. It's such a shame. And I mean, one thing we just always have to remember is that, like, you know, Perez and, you know, what's the name? Javier Tebas. They never see eye to eye. The only thing they agree upon is that they should be an independent refereeing body. That goes to tell you, like, that alone is enough to tell you, you know, how dire the situation of refereeing is. You know, and I remember, you know, like Mo was saying even at the preview, even at the post game, he also, you know, iterated that Gil Manzano is the best that Spain has to offer right now. And if he, in his right mind, looks at someone willing to cross the ball, crosses the ball, and then blows a full time, I'm sorry, man. Like, I mean, that just tells us that, you know, I mean, and now this is the time where you have to actually, you know, remove the bias and forget about the institutions. The referees are just horseshit. It doesn't matter if you're Real Madrid or Barcelona or Atletico Madrid. The referees are just pure horseshit, honestly. And I'm really surprised that more people didn't get red cards, man. Honestly. I am surprised that more people didn't get red cards. That's just, you know, that's a surprising thing there. I was expecting, like, you know, six, seven players should get red cards there. Honestly. And I it would be justified. Like, lose the next game, it's fine. Play the kids, you know. But, like, these are the kind of times that, you know, like, you need to go and, you know, I don't want to say shit, but you need to go and tell your mind to the ref, let him know that, bro, you know, have sleepless nights for what you have done today, you know. Honestly. But, again, you know, in, as we've seen, you know, all over football in Europe, like, referees are just, you know, that, you know, untouchable people that, you know, they go, players lose their jobs, managers lose their job, but the referees always, you know, come back and they're still the same.
But Justin, are you familiar with the incident that happened at Valencia?
A little bit. It did pop up in my feed, the world football feed anyway. We had Jude Bellingham. He got a red card in injury time. I think he mouthed off the referee or something because you were denied a penalty or something like that.
No, man. So I'll explain. So what happened was our player, Brahim, he crossed the ball, and while the ball was in the air, the referee decided to blow the final whistle. And Jude Bellingham actually... Jude Bellingham actually headed the ball in, and it was supposed to be a goal, but then the referee blew his whistle. And then after the game ended, all of the players surrounded the referee, and they were like, man, that was a goal. Why didn't you give it to us? And Jude, I think I'm quoting Jude here, he said, "Fuck, it's a fucking goal." And he got a red card for that because he used the word fuck in there.
It is a goal, though, because if you look at the laws of the game in any code in world football, if the ball is in the air, especially in an attacking half, even in injury time, you just got to play the ball. As soon as the ball gets cleared, then fine, it's done. All right, but it's a goal every day of the week. So that's just ludicrous. I think some of the La Liga officials there need to go back to the drawing board and go for retraining.
Absolutely. So is it just a Spain thing, or do you witness these kind of things on a day-to-day basis in the Bundesliga as well?
No, we don't have anything like of major of stuff like that, I would say. Occasionally you'd have, you know, a couple of questionable calls or something, but it doesn't seem like, if anything, you know, this is going to probably sound obviously a little biased, but it seems like the Bundesliga officials are better for Bayern Munich games. As in, like, they're very scared to make any wrong calls, or they'll make a call that you just won't see in any other game. Obviously, Bayern fans will disagree with that. But this is from the outside looking in. It's happened a couple of times when we've played Bayern, but it's also noticeable if you flick on the TV and you'll see another game and with Bayern involved. And yeah, it just seems like they give like a VAR decision or something, especially when it's questionable. It's like 50-50. So I'm not too sure what it's like for you guys in La Liga, if like any of the top clubs get any sort of favorable treatment or anything, but that's probably the only bias I'd say that's in the Bundesliga.
Absolutely. Yeah, Justin, let me just ask you, because we've gone back and forth with the guys, on the pod a lot. Like, I don't know what's your opinion on this, but like, how do you think, this refereeing thing can be handled? Because every now and then we see some, shitty things happen and we're just left to wonder what happened. I always feel like we don't have an insight into why certain decisions were made when they were made. I don't know if, you have any ideas or any thoughts on how to bypass these issues.
No, so the only thing I can think of would be who runs the officiating in Spain. So, for instance, I don't know if it's La Liga is the owner of the league or like the name, or if that's who actually owns it. Otherwise, you'd have to go further up to like maybe UEFA, who would do like all European football. For us, it'd be the DFL. So first, what will happen is if there's like major breaches in officiating, first the officials will have to then speak to the DFL, or the clubs can go to the DFL and go, hey, this is not right, this is not what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. And then the DFL will get involved. If the DFL can't do it, then obviously UEFA or someone higher up will be able to go and do something about it. So my suggestion would be for all the clubs members to basically, kick up a fuss and, put it forward that these calls are just getting ludicrous and, on a weekly basis, if it is.
Cool. That's the thing, football is a very partisan game. So unless the bias, for example, what's going to happen is that Barcelona fans will be celebrating. Yeah. Okay. She just happened to Real Madrid. And when it comes to Barcelona, Real Madrid fans will be celebrating. So, you're literally asking for world peace, man. But, as humans, we prefer the chaos. So
that's going to happen. Well, sometimes when it comes to, pride and, and biases and all that type of stuff, sometimes we just got to let that go for the greater good of the game, so to speak. It's always good to, give each other a bit of, stick, I suppose, to put it, friendly on match day and stuff like that. But then, when push comes to shove, we're all there for the football. So, even if it's just something so that it's better for everyone, not just, the major teams.
True, valid point, but I think let's just move on and forget that, because the referee controversy is something that's going to keep happening every other week.
Yeah, there's not much you can do.
Definitely, guys. I guess let's just deep dive into what happened in the first leg. Let's start with you, Justin. Just give us a gist of how the game went, your general takeaways from the game.
Okay. So I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but that's okay.
Go ahead.
most hated club in Germany anyway, so that's fine. Just bring it on. I think that we outplayed you completely in the first half. Second half was a bit more 50-50. Still better team throughout the rest for the whole game. We had some really good chances. Sesko came in. He started the game, played brilliantly. Looked really made you guys look really worried at the back there, had some chances that he missed. Some were gettable, some were not. What really stood out for me during that game was our defensive work. So I'll probably butcher this every time, but the Gegenpressing. So when basically, I don't know if you're familiar with that tactic of football, RB Leipzig do it all the time. Liverpool's another good one. So whenever there's a ball carrier on the ball within the first, five seconds or so, two players will actually leave their position. They'll both press the player to then dispossess the ball carrier and then win the ball back. So if you don't win the ball back within a certain time frame, you can also leave your players exposed. And that's where sometimes we do a little bit wrong. We don't actually have another player covering the position that also pressed. So we can be vulnerable in a certain area. So we played really good in the back there. I believe it was Benny Henriques and Willy Orban made some great saves, especially one-on-one down the back there. I think even Klosterman was capable, or was, sorry, was the culprit of a couple as well. If it wasn't for some of those defensive tackles and challenges down there, it could have been a cricket score almost, because we actually protected our goalkeeper quite well. Other than that, it was quite an entertaining game. I don't know if you wanted me to go into further detail with the goal or anything like that, or...
Yeah, I mean, let's hear your thoughts on the disallowed goal. For me, personally, looking at it live, I thought, man, we're off to a bad start. I didn't think two thoughts of it. I didn't even think he was offside or he was getting blocked. I just didn't see it in real time. Did you actually catch it? What were your reactions?
Yeah, so I did see it. To me, it did not look offside one bit. And that's not actually any bias. That's from when the ball was played, it actually seemed like he was onside. There was a couple of officiating calls that I thought were absolutely poor that day. My actual podcast episode said something about that.
Just a little something, yeah.
Yeah, look, it's just one of those things where, you know, you don't get to see those VAR calls or anything like that, unless they put it on the live telecast or something. And then even then I got a question, like, is that actually what they're using, or is that just what we see as well, you know, as a you know, fan and supporter? But for me, that looked like a goal. It didn't look like he was offside. From when the cross was played, he looked like he was already played onside. And if I remember correctly, it took a deflection and then he scored a goal. Like,
so
he scored from that.
I forget which player it was, but I believe the goal was disallowed because he was judged to being like obstructing Lunin, the goalkeeper.
Yeah, so I didn't think he was actually obstructed. I just think he was poor positioning. But yeah, that's just where the cookie crumbles, and then it's unfortunate. It's, you know, it's in the record books. If you know, you don't like the result of a game, who do you go complain to? Certainly not the officials, because they're not going to hear a bar of it. So
yeah, absolutely. Farooq, man, like, you're a fan of entertaining football. Like, were you entertained in the first half? Like, why do you think, you know, we couldn't put two passes together?
It was a game that, you know, we come to expect this way. Even like, you know, we went to Leipzig, you know, I think last year, correct, maybe I'm wrong, Justin, we lost 3-2. Was it last year or the year before that, I think, in the group stages? The last game of the...
Yeah, I think it was last year. That was definitely the result, though, yeah.
Yeah, we lost 3-2 there. So, like, you know, going to, you know, Leipzig, it wasn't going to be an easy task. But, you know, like, we just couldn't sort things out, you know, immediately. And, you know, they failed also to capitalize on that. And, you know, the goal disallowed, good 14. I think, you know, even if it was disallowed for me as well, I would be, you know, just as furious as Justin was, you know, as he said, a little bit, not too much, you know. But, yeah, I can understand that. And, like, you know, Lunin also came up clutch, I think, in that game as well. I think he set a record for the number of saves, or rather, he equaled the record in that game.
He equaled the record.
For the number of saves. Yeah, for a number of saves in a single game in the UCL. So I think that's just a thing. But again, you know, it's quite interesting that you look at the game and you look at the stats. If I'm not mistaken, like, Leipzig had like a ton of shots on target. Everybody just had 3 shots on target. And, you know, you look at the quality of those shots and, you know, like, one of them was a bar from Vinicius, one of them was a goal, and the other was another chance from, you know, from what's he called, Brian McGinn as well. And I even think we had a higher XG than Leipzig, actually. You know, I think we had like around 1.7, 1.8, and Leipzig had like, you know, a 1.2 kind of thing. So that also, you know, goes to tell you about, you know, that experience that you talk about, you know, when you come to the stages of the, you know, of the competition as well. Because the chances, you know, although like we say Lunin came in clutch, but I would expect that, you know, I don't think I see Vinicius missing that much chances that, you know, they missed, you know. Even we had Benjamin Sheshko, so I think he missed a couple of good chances in the second half as well. So, you know, I don't just see, you know, either Vinicius or Rodrigo. Okay, yeah, Rodrigo in this form might be, but, you know, I just don't see them, you know, missing that much of chances, honestly. And the way, because some of the shots actually, okay, Lunin did make the saves, but like, you know, I don't know if you get what I'm saying, Justin. You're like, there's these shots that, you know, it's just made so that the goalkeeper can make a spectacular save, you know? It's like a shot that if a goalkeeper lets that through in the first thing, bro, come on, like, what are you doing? Like, you're not.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, like, you know, like, there were saves that had to be made, of course, and credit to Lunin. But again, I just feel like, you know, it's like they weren't like that top, top class saves. But like, they really literally, you know, sliced through us like, you know, hot knife through butter. I definitely would give them credit for that. Well, yeah, as I said, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, it's nothing new. Like, we've been there, we've done that before. You know, we know it's a very difficult place to go. So, considering the circumstances, you know, that 1-1 victory, and especially considering the goal that was scored, you know, I think, you know, it was a fantastic one.
Absolutely, guys. I think you guys basically covered it. But what stood out for me was, like, we just did not have that third player who could actually combine with Vinny and Rodrigo, you know. You saw in the first half, it was just the only danger that came out of anything was Vinicius trying to dribble the whole team and trying to put a ball in. And that just did not work out. And I feel like Brahim just did not give the link-up play that day. And before the goal, he was actually quite poor and invisible. But Flameboy is in the comments. He says, hello, guys. He says, a bit of a harsh opinion, but just for the next match, I want Brahim to start instead of Rodrigo. And Farouk, like, you could say the same for Rodrigo as well, right? Like, I think he got one chance in the second half when Vinny squared it to him, and then he had to blaze it over because of the pressure from the defense. And even in the past games, he hasn't looked that clinical. Like, would you warrant that Brahim starting over him? Farouk, you're muted, by the way.
My bad, sorry. Yeah, I was saying, like, for the Leipzig game, man, while I can understand some of the sentiments, what people are saying, you know, I just don't see that, man. I don't share that, especially for this game, because I feel like, you know, one new game, it's really, really, you know, on the edge, honestly. And considering, you know, how the game ended, you know, in Valencia, that's all I really would prefer to, you know, go with Rodrigo. And the option is that, you know, Brahim is always there, and he has shown us time and time again that, you know, he's someone to be counted upon. So I feel like if it's not going the way you want it, you know, you might just, you know, shuffle Brahim for, you know, for Rodrigo. But starting, I'm not there yet, man. I hope I never get there, but I'm not there yet.
Absolutely. I guess that pretty much, you know, covers our thoughts on the first leg, but we have to look ahead. And Leipzig have been doing decently in the Bundesliga. I mean, we have been doing decently in La Liga as well. It's not because of us. It's just because both the other teams are pretty much fucking up and allowing us to stay on top, even though we are drawing. We drew, I think, the last two of the three games. So, yeah, not great form heading into this game. However, there's a difference, right? You guys are going to be missing a couple of crucial players, and do you think that's going to really impact you, or you guys have it covered with bench players?
Well, I think in hindsight, we do have it covered with bench players. It's just that they're not going to be the quality of what they have. So, for instance, Mohamed Simikhan just seems to have Vinny Jr.'s number, even though late in the piece, Vinny seemed to be getting a little bit of better hold of him in the first leg, but he was also playing, I believe, as a left back, and Simikhan doesn't like that. He actually stated to the club that he is quite happy to leave if he keeps continued being used as a left back or right back. Personally, I think that that's one of the weakest points in our squad is our left back. So, but I could be right back. I believe it would be right back because Raum normally plays. So, because we've only got basically three fullbacks and that's it. And then you've got the makeshift fullbacks to fill in the void there. So it'll be interesting to find out how we line up and how we decide to stop the creativity of Vinny Jr. And not only that, you stop one player, you've got, you know, tons of world-star players around. And then you've got the leadership skills of Lucas Klosterman that's been there for eons. Like, I don't really remember a time where players like him or Powson weren't playing for us, to be honest. So you've gone to miss his experience at the back there. I mean, if we didn't have Willie Orban there, he's really the guy that puts it all together in place. So he really makes everyone, you know, accountable for their roles and, you know, organizes the defense, a bit like the general, so to speak. So it'll be quite interesting affair at the Santiago Bernabeu, especially the first, say, 15 minutes or so, and how we line up. Be interesting to see if we can try something new as well, instead of just thinking that you will line up with the exact same squad for the day. But yeah, look, if we, you know, take it to you guys in the first 15 minutes or so, we'll give us the best chance. And if we don't do that, we just, you know, sit back and let you dictate play, then yeah, we're going to have no chance. So we basically got to turn around and take it to you and really go, well, right, yes, we're young, yes, we're an inexperienced squad, yes, we're in your backyard, but, you know, if we want to continue, you know, some club legacy, because we've obviously got none being such a short club, in, you know, how long we've been around for, we need to start taking these matches and, you know, taking it to the top teams in European football.
Absolutely. Man, I just don't think that it is on the cards for Leipzig to, you know, actually sit back and, you know, just defend. You guys are going to come out all gung-ho, especially in the first 15 minutes. Like, in the first leg, that was the period I was most worried about, the first 20 minutes. It almost seemed like every attack you guys were able to, like, string together was almost ending up in the back of the net, except for maybe you lacked a bit of sharpness in the final third, just the final pass that was missing.
Yeah, sometimes that's all in our downfall. We'd have a couple of players that can do really good passes, but it's only a couple, so to speak. So to have the final pass, we basically rely on Dani Olmo or Xavi Simmons. So if they don't have that final pass, then depending on if we're crossing the ball, then it's pretty much David Raum. Other than that, Benny Henriques isn't too bad if he's playing in his traditional fullback role. But other than that, you know, there's really no one for that through ball or ground pass or anything like that. A couple of players have played some good passes throughout the season that I've seen. Like Xavier Schlager's done a couple as well, but he's not known for his passing abilities.
Absolutely. Man, Faruk, I just want to ask, the other thing that stood out for me from the Leipzig squad was Sesko, man. What a player. And you would absolutely, like, take him over Joselu any day, right? Especially in his current form. Scoring, I think, 7 in the last 9. Do you think his future lies, especially in the next season, at Leipzig? Or do you think he's actually ready for the Prem? Or maybe Italy even?
I think, you know, the name of Benjamin Sesko has been thrown around, you know, for a very long time. Even since, you know, even before United bought Rasmus Højlund as well, you know, Benjamin Sesko was a player that was, you know, linked with them. Even the first season when Ten Hag moved there as well, you know. And even last season, like, you know, even with us as well, you know, there was a time where, like, you know, there was towards the end of the transfer window, you know, the name of Benjamin Sesko has been linked. So I feel like, you know, he's bound for to make that, you know, big step. Like we've seen, you know, a lot of players move through that, you know, that pipeline of, you know, of the RB Leipzig. So I think maybe Sesko might be the next person in line. Obviously, like, you know, you also have the likes of Simikan as well, you know, but I feel like Sesko is the next one most likely to, you know, to take that route. And yeah, I definitely think, you know, one of these Premier Leagues are going to take a punt on him. And the thing is that he's very young. So, like, you know, he gives you that vibe of even, you know, he goes somewhere, like, it's not his final decision. Like, maybe he needs to, you know, make one jump before he makes that final jump. So, like, maybe, you know, this mid-table teams or top, you know, Europa League chasing teams in the Premier League might take a punt on him. Or maybe even some of the bigger teams in Italy as well, you know, might take a punt on him, and, you know, before eventually he, you know, arrives at the very, very top, because I still feel like, you know, there's still some fine tuning to, you know, to reach him, honestly. But yeah, I do think, you know, especially if Leipzig doesn't qualify for the UCL next year, I think, you know, Benjamin Sesko might be one of the sacrificial lambs.
Yeah, could be. I'll come back to you, Justin. So the last thing that I'm gonna refer from the previous game was, I'm gonna hold you against it a bit. Because every single Leipzig fan that I saw on Twitter, I was even translating some of the German tweets, and they were all calling for Schlager now to start. But he actually had a very decent game, wouldn't you say?
Yes, he did. I actually said in my previous episode that he needs to be benched. Like, his play, he gave us a couple of conceded a couple of goals from his own footwork, so to speak, be it challenges or passes or positioning and stuff like that, and he really disproved. And hey, look, I'm at the end of the day, as a supporter, if Marco Rosa gets paid to make those decisions, and I stand by any decision he makes, sometimes I can question, sometimes when he puts subs on and stuff like that, he obviously knows what he's doing a lot more than I do, but sometimes you just look at it from the outside looking in and go, you know, why in the heck would you turn around and play this player at this time or bring this player on at this time? And yeah, no, he, any critics that he had, especially the week before, completely shattered him. So, and played an outstanding game, and you just love to see it, especially when some players can't always come out of form and play themselves out of form. So by that I mean, if they're, you know, not playing very well, they're playing poor, they can't just keep playing and it just goes away. Sometimes they do need that break, or you know, he's swapped around or something like that. But Schlager turned it around. Full credit to him.
Absolutely. And yeah, I guess we're going to go for an ad break right now. We're going to hear from Torres, but once we're back, we're going to head straight into the lineups, see what Leipzig has planned and, you know, what our lineup is going to look like as well. I know Hassan, you're already here in the chat. He says, hola amigos. But yeah, man, stay tuned for the lineups after the ad break.
Hola Madridistas. I'm back once again to remind you guys that we partnered up with Manscaped. And if you want to help and support this project and this little family of ours, be sure to check out Manscaped and use code LBR20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. So 2024 is in full swing. We're already a month in. And if you had any New Year's resolutions to look better, you know, feel better, I have a company called Manscaped. They're trusted by more than 10 million men worldwide, and if you want to take a positive step, you know, in a good direction this year, start with yourself. And Manscaped asked us to introduce you guys to the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's a hair trimmer, you know, for your sensitive bits. It features skin safe technology, you know, to keep your sensitive bits safe. It has an LED bright, it's waterproof, you can use it in the shower. You get two extra heads, blade heads, to go either full smooth or a normal blade head. If you want to go all in, you can get the whole package. You get a nose trimmer, you get crop preserver, it's a ball deodorant, you get some aftershave, and in the box you also get some boxers and a bag, you know, to keep all of those things in. So yeah, if you're interested, go to manscaped.com, use code LBR20 to get 20% off at checkout and free shipping. That's LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. And thank you guys, and back to the video.
All right, we're back. Hassan, I hope you're still here, you know, and thank you again, Doris, for that ad break. So I guess let's start with Leipzig then. Justin, go ahead, man. Like, what do you think the lineup is going to be? So the main question is, like, do you think Marco Rose actually has something different planned, maybe a different alternative lineup, or he's going to stick with the same lineup that you guys featured in the first leg?
I think he might actually do a little bit of a change up. So, what really surprised me about the last game that we played in the Bundesliga with Bochum, we had Christoph Baumgartner. He played as a striker. I know I've seen him play as a striker before, but not under Leipzig. So it was very interesting to see him play there. And he played all right. He played quite well. He was more of a support striker because he played along with Sesko. So Sesko would have been the target man, so to speak. And Baumgartner, he can score. And he was just more of the, you know, the assisting, the dribbler, you know, the creating of the chances. So that might be something that you would be look out for instead of just the original, like Openda and Sesko, because Openda came on and within a couple of minutes in his first play he actually scored against Bochum. So for me, I think Peter Galachi will probably still take the goals over there. The only reason for that is being his actual experience. Both him and Janis Blas, which are great stop shoppers. Can't even say that word right. Shot stoppers. There we go. third time's the charm. So yeah, if we go with either of those in goal, I wouldn't be too bad with that. So I think the defense line is going to look like we'll have David Raum and Benny Henriques on the outside. And I think that what's going to happen with the center of the park in defense there is going to be Willy Orban and Castelo Lukeba. I don't think young El Shababu, or Bishabu, if I've said that correctly, I think he'll travel. He may come on and play some minutes, but he's still, you know, he's still quite young. He's only 18 years old. So he's a bit inexperienced. So to start him would be putting a lot of faith into the young lad. He's obviously got some skills to be able to be playing for us. So if Marco does that, Marco does that. So he does some weird things sometimes. And then through the midfield, I think what will happen in there will be, it'll be a two of either Haidara and Schlager or Schlager and Kevin Campbell. That being said, Haidara did play a really good game in the last game in Bochum and also I think against you guys as well in the first leg. So I would expect both of them to be playing in the midfield there. And then up front, this is where it gets a little weird because I would assume that we would have Danny Olmo and Xavi Simmons start. There's no way you would be, unless you're trying to manage them for match fitness, to have one of those two not starting and coming on, 60 minutes into the piece or something like that. Otherwise, I would like to see Elif Elmas start. He came on, our new signing. He only had 60-odd minutes before the last game against Bochum, and he played really well for the 30-odd minutes that he was on the ground for. So wouldn't mind him actually having to start if one of those two are going to be rested. And then up front, I think that you have to play Yusuf Poulsen and Openda. That reasoning is because of the experience and hold-up play of Yusuf Poulsen, even though he comes on mainly as an impact sub, which is sort of what he's been known for currently. But he can play that role where he's tall like Sesko. He can, take the ball and, distribute it like Sesko has done as well. And so there'd be no point, unless you're just bombing in crosses, to have both Sesko and Poulsen starting because they're more of a like for like. And obviously you want to have our top goal scorer, Openda, on the pitch in a game like the round of 16 with you guys, because we're 1-0 down. We need to score early and there's no one much better besides, maybe Xavi Simmons.
Oh man, that is a brave decision. Like, do you think Marco Rose would actually do it? Like, drop Sesko and bring on Poulsen?
He may, but I think he loves him too much as a impact substitution to actually do that. So, if he goes back to the last form of the last game that he played, and then also the game against you guys, I don't think he will. I think it'd be good just for player management and also just for something new. Because then you've got the fresh legs and he's going to be a dangerous threat. But Poulsen has been lacking his actual goal scoring ability for a little while. He seems like he's on the decline. Love the bloke. He's a club legend. He's been playing for so long. He's actually an appearance record holder. So, but he's just declining that little bit. And if you're wanting to score early, he may be able to create the chance and maybe take a player, but he's not going to probably score that goal for you.
And Farooq, I've got asked, right? In the first leg, I was expecting a lot from Openda. I thought we were going to have our hands full with him. But we were able to actually manage him. And of the attackers, he was the least dangerous one. So why do you think that is? Is it just down to our defense? Or do you think Openda was just a bit too wasteful?
Well, I think also, that physicality, I think, is something that has always, bothered us. I think that's why I feel like, when we play at this contract, we suffer a lot because, their teams actually use that physicality to be, to their strength. And I think, a player like Benjamin Sesko, that's actually, I was going to say to Justin, what about starting both of them, although you see they're of similar profiles, but I feel like, this is something you want to target earlier. Like, it's a weakness that Real Madrid has, that it's known, it's, glaring that, dealing with those aerial balls or, dealing with, physical attackers is something that, gives us a bit of a problem. I think that's the reason why, Sesko was more more at the fore compared to, Openda in the first leg. Honestly, I think our team is, if you're going to play, with someone running behind, stuff like that, like we have people, people like Carvajal or, what's it called, Rudiger, able to, understand and interpret those, situations and, prevent it before it escalates to a dangerous situation. But I think, that physical presence that Sesko gives is something that, till now is still, a turn on our side. So I think that's the reason why, to answer your question, and then I just pose my question again to Justin, don't you feel like, starting both of them together would, give Leipzig a bit more chance, especially in the first 15, 20 minutes, just to at least, rattle us and shit like that,
Yeah, for sure. Like, so if you're just going, if your main goal is to you know, attack down the left-hand side or the right-hand side of the pitch and just whip in nothing but crosses, then, yeah, that'd be one of the best things that you could do because both of them are tall, both of them can head the ball well. Pearson is a bit more of he's moved himself into a poacher's role in, as these days so he can get into actual dangerous positions. So if you're going to be doing that, look for him to be already in a dangerous position and then a ball to be crossed and whipped in. Otherwise, Sesko can also run with the ball and he's not too much of a bad crosser. He's obviously not known for it, but he can pass the ball and, you know, chip it over to his striker combination partner if Pearson does play. So, look, if they both do start, then, yeah, expect a lot of crosses coming in from both the wide areas. And, yeah, if that's what they Marco Rosa goes for, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
I wouldn't say it's interesting for Real Madrid fans. It would be more terrifying than interesting.
Well, for me, it'd be more interesting because we mainly go down the left-hand side wing with David Raum. So, I mean, like I said before, Benny Henriques is still a good crosser of the ball himself. But it'd be interesting to see if we're just going to be completely one-dimensional down the left-hand side or if we're going to go on both sides. So that's where it'd be interesting for me because otherwise it's like, well, you know exactly what you're going to do. Why don't you just shift your whole entire midfield and just press that side? That's how I would combat that anyway myself because then you're going to give them less space. You're not going to be able to run with the ball and then you can try to win the ball back in dangerous areas. But, yeah, that's why it'd be interesting for me, I suppose, but that's from, you know, my perspective. So,
yeah. Remains to be seen, yeah, man. But definitely, like, what counts for me in this game is that some of our injured players are back. Mainly, Rudiger is back. He's going to be so huge in the back line, along with Nacho. Hopefully, he's totally fit, throwing away his, like, injury niggles over the past weeks. And last but not the least, man, Jude Bellingham is back. You know for sure he's going to bomb into the box, combined with Vinny and Rodrigo, and, you know, actually create some danger. So how worried are you with Jude?
I'm not actually worried, so to speak. We've played a lot with him. So we've played a lot against him in the Bundesliga. He's obviously a different player now that he's moved over to Real Madrid. But for me, it'd be more so to see how he reacts mentally over the sending off the issues that's happened because he's still quite young. If he's professional enough to put that aside and, you know, use that as fuel to completely dominate, then yeah, we're screwed. but otherwise, I don't know why you would actually play him to start in, because you would put him as a central forward, wouldn't you? Because I thought Brahim Diaz was actually quite well. Or is that who played, or was it Joe Slew?
Yeah, it was Brahim who started in the first leg. But he's been playing more of a left-sided advanced role where he combines more with Vinny and tries to get into that same left half space and into the box. He definitely does not play as a center forward as he did like earlier on in the season.
Okay, so if that's his unnatural position, then yeah, you've basically only got what, Bellingham and Joselu. So,
no, it's Rodrigo. Yeah, I don't think Joselu is going to start this game, especially considering that he's just coming off an injury. So
yeah,
definitely going to be Rodrigo, Vinny, and Bellingham attacking you guys. But yeah, man, like I guess that that just segues into the lineup. Farouk, who else? Like, do you see any change from that front three?
No, man, I don't see any changes from them, and I definitely think, you know, it's a Jude, Rodrigo, and Vinicius thingy. But actually, you know, what I wouldn't be surprised is to see a Luka Modric starting in the middle of the park.
Really?
That's, you know, something that I you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see, considering that, you know, it's a game that we need to, you know, we need all the experience for. We need to, you know, calm the tension down, especially as, you know, Justin was saying, you know, coming off the back of the whole shenanigans that happened, you know, at the Marseille. So I would, you know, not be surprised to see a Luka Modric start in this game. Well, yeah, how is it going to look like? I'm not exactly sure, but like, I think, you know, Luka starting wouldn't be something surprising. But I think in the middle of the park, there's a room for, you know, shuffling. Well, I'm going to say something that, you know, maybe people would not like is that actually I don't want to see Mendy start. I want to see Kamavinga as a left back for this game, honestly. Yeah. I feel like there's too much on the line, and I feel like with Kamavinga, we can handle. I can understand, yeah, okay, when you go against, you know, the very, very best in Europe, you know, you want to, like, you know, keep Mendy there for that defensive solidity. But I feel like this game, we need that, you know, combinations and that understanding that Kamavinga offers, you know, from the left-back position. So that's one thing I'd love to see, you know, honestly. But I don't know if it will happen or not, because, like, you know, it's Leipzig at the Bernabeu, and it's, you know, just leading 1-0, so anything can happen. So I feel like Haaland's will always, you know, rely on that, you know, for Lennon, the defensive solidity thing. But I think for more fluency, I think Kamavinga will offer more options, honestly, in my opinion.
I mean, like, for me, like, we're not chasing the goal. We can afford to maybe sit back in the first half an hour, absorb the pressure, and then maybe start to hit them when legs tire a bit more. So that would definitely be the plan. And, like, who else to, like, shut up shop than Mendy then? And especially considering that, you know, if Jude Bellingham or Kamavinga, either of them get a yellow card, they're all out of the first leg in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
So having Kamavinga at left back for the whole game, I don't think it's a good idea. It's a ripe recipe to, you know, get him suspended.
Well, that's the thing, like, you know, in the quarters as well, if you get a yellow card in the first leg, you miss the second leg. It's not until the semifinals before all of it is wiped out. So, I mean, you might as well just get suspended now and just move on with it, you know. So that's just the thing as well. Because, I mean, when you're playing the quarterfinals, second leg, like, I mean, all the chips most likely will be on the table unless, like, you're going to have, like, a 3-4-0 blowout in the first leg. Like, I mean, so you need everything available at that point in time. But I kind of get what you're saying, you know. I totally definitely get what you're saying. Like, the points, like, there's not really need to, you know, create extra risks when, you know, there is nothing there. But, I mean, yeah, this is kind of Vinga where we're talking about, like, okay, yeah, he's, you know, developed a lot, gone a long way from the player he used to be. But, like, I mean, he can come onto the pitch for 30 seconds and in that, they're just going to get a yellow card as well. So, you know.
That's very true.
There isn't too much to say, but because what I'm just talking about is the fact that, you know, like, we are a team that start very slowly, right? So, you know, I mean, just imagine a very extreme scenario where, you know, RB scores a goal early on, you know, it's parity all over. And then, like, you need to chase the game. Like, would you, I wouldn't feel comfortable chasing the game with, you know, Fulham Mendy. I'd rather have, you know,
Kamavinga.
I'd rather have to, you know, Kamavinga there, you know, in that spot. But I totally get what you're saying. There's no need to risk stuff. But yeah, I mean, the yellow card is going to happen sometime somewhere. Let's just hope, you know, fortune favors us in the sense that we get a good draw. And even if they get suspended, it's fine. You know, you can just, you know, push it through and stuff like that.
Absolutely, man. Okay, I mean, Lunin's for sure going to start, right? Carvajal's going to start. Rudiger, Nacho, centre-back. Mendy or Kamavinga? Not sure yet. Probably going to be Mendy. Maybe Kamavinga comes on in the second half. So left-back.
Are you sure about the Rudiger-Nacho combination thingy?
Why would I not be sure?
I'm thinking the Rudiger-Chouameni combination, bro.
Chouameni, bro. No.
I don't know, man. I just kind of feel like, you know, like, they might be willing to throw his father into, you know, into the works, honestly. I feel like I get your sense that, okay, like, we have a center back on the bench, why not play a center back in place and force the team, you know, play natural there. But yeah, I mean, we can go with that. But I was, you know, because I mentioned about Modric earlier, I was thinking, you know, maybe he might want to try to, you know, put Toni Kroos in the pivot and play, you know, Luka Modric and Fede Valverde together, you know, as a double eight thingy with you know, Jude being the number 10 at the tip of the diamond or something like that. So I'm actually thinking about this, but I don't know, man. Maybe this might happen.
Judging from what you're saying, you're trying to cram as many midfielders into the pitch as possible. Kamavinga at left back, Chouameni at centre back, Kroos, Modric, Valverde, and Bellingham on the pitch as well.
Yeah, that's literally everything we have. So the problem now becomes this, you know, how do you make your subs? You know, it's Brahim and Osilu that are the subs, you know, and Nacho as well. So, depending on how it goes or how it doesn't go. But I think eventually we will see this variation at certain point in the game, you know.
Definitely.
This is also depending on how the game goes. But, you know, I really do hope that, you know, we don't get an early scare from RB at the beginning of the game. But I do think, like, eventually at a certain point, we will see a certain variation of, you know, this midfielders are on the pitch at the same time. But I do think, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Luka Modric starts tomorrow. I think that on Wednesday. I think that might be one of the things to look out for. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, you know, let's just go with, you know, the whole natural thing, natural Rudiger. And then I guess the fullbacks also is up for grabs. But I think the fullback actually with Carlos Ancelotti is not up for grabs. I think it's just Ferland Mendy there, right?
For sure. You know?
As you mentioned, because like we're not chasing the game and nothing, so I think that's just a thing there.
Yeah, for a moment there, like I saw you, Justin. You were looking at Farouk like he was a madman because he was asking all of these midfielders to play defense.
I mean, look, in a couple of those players' defenses, you know, when you had your injuries stacked against you, like, you know, Chimini and Kamavinga did quite well in, you know, unorthodox positions for them, as they're both, you know, known as central or defensive midfielders. So, you look, and if you go on by, like, you know, one of the best managers in the world, Pep Guardiola, he's got, like, what, 12 midfielders on the pitch at all times or something? So, you know, look. What works, you know? And at the end of the day, like, look, I wouldn't actually be surprised if Chimini, from my perspective, would actually be at centre back because that's where he's mostly been. So, for left back, yeah, who knows, in that perspective. But regardless, you're going to have good players all over the pitch from our perspective. Like, we're going to have our hands full, especially if we're not careful. So, it doesn't matter who's playing. Like, you know, it's Real Madrid, you know, so best European team. You've got to just be careful on every single position.
100%. Yeah, man. And Justin, you want to go with like maybe first options off the bench?
Yep. So depending on obviously how we line up, Yusuf Poulsen will come on off the bench. That's normally what he does. Elif Elmas, I'd love to see him come on the bench because I don't see him starting. As much as I'd love to see him start. Nicholas Seiwold will probably also come on as well. He played really, really well in our last game against Bochum. He did some great passes and great challenges, so I wouldn't actually be surprised if he did make it in the starting 11. That would probably be my main three that would come on. Obviously, we do have a couple of other players that can come through. So depending on who starts, we'd have Christoph Baumgartner comes in. He's more of an attacking midfielder or makeshift striker. Through the defense, this is where we sort of lacking our depth. We'd either come on with the young Mr. El Shababu, Chad El Bishabu, or I'm going to keep butchering that for a long time. And other than that, we don't really have anyone else besides maybe a makeshift left back in Christopher Lenz. So, yeah, basically our defense is where I would see us, if especially the left back position, if we could ever, you know, obviously the season is done and dusted with transfer windows, but as for next season, depending ins and outs, that's where I'd be making my changes. So yeah, to sum it up, you'd be Poulsen, Baumgartner, Seiwold, and I would say that would probably be your main changes. Depending on what we actually change. So if Kevin Campbell or Xavier Schlager don't start, they might come on for a bit of experience as well and a bit of quality in the central of the park. But really depends on how the game's going and if it's, you know, if it's winnable or if it's, 2-0 and, you know, we're chasing it completely and it's like 65 minutes in. It really, really boils down to the situation at hand, so to speak. So, but rest assured, you probably... I'll make the prediction now. You'll see Yusuf Poulsen at some point be starting or he'll come on. So he seems to come on every game, at least from the substitution. It's if there was like odds or for betting or something, it'd be like $1.10 or something ridiculously small. So
I'm placing my bets right now. But yeah, man, good stuff. We'll watch out for that. I didn't want to ask though. Like I just saw it just an hour ago. I saw links for Dani Olmo to Barcelona. And I know he's been a bit polarizing for you guys this season, but what's the contract situation like with Olmo? I mean, for Barcelona to actually go out and try to get him, he must probably leave for a free transfer or close to maybe 10, 20 million. I don't think they can afford more than that.
No, so he's just recently had a contract extension, actually. So, and that was earlier in the year. So if he's leaving, he's going to be leaving for money. He can't be a free transfer or anything like that. I know he's always said that he's loved Barcelona because I believe he's a product of La Masia, if I've said that correctly, which is their academy. So, look, I do think he'll probably make it back there someday. I don't know if he'll go back there next season as Barcelona's financial struggles. So it'll come to the point of you know, we willing to accept a mediocre transfer deal or something for, you know, one of our starting 11 players, and we're not going to be keeping Xavi Simmons next season because PSG are most likely going to build the team around him. I mean, I would, especially after his season with us. It would make sense to do what happened with that dominance. I hate to bring this up for you guys, but with Messi when he came in, so they built the team around him. So that's basically when you have a young player of quality, you've got to build the team around him, especially of the caliber of Xavi Simmons. So that's where, if some people have even said that if we didn't have Xavi Simmons, would we be a mid-table side this season? And to be frankly honest, I think we would, because is actually gives us that extra dynamic that we don't have. I mean, we can get that from Dani Olmo, but then we're relying too much on him. So I said that earlier episodes of my podcast that we should do everything that it takes to keep Xavi Simmons on a permanent basis. I mean, obviously in the world of football, nothing's ever off the table until it's done in stone. But I don't see my, what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't have high hopes for him staying in the long term. So yeah, it's a bit unfortunate, but that just means that we need to have another central attacking midfielder and shore up some other places depending on other coming and goings. For instance, if we lose Sesko to you guys, or he was snubbed Manchester United years ago, last year I think it was actually, he decided to come to us instead. So it really depends on who leaves and who we come in to replace. So yeah.
Yeah, gonna be a difficult one, and the thing is almost like very injury prone as well, so you can't rely on him for the whole season like you can.
Yeah, so he in the Super Cup he pretty much single-handedly decimated Bayern 3-0. That was a fantastic performance, and since he's come back, he really only started hitting his straps in the Bochum game. It was glimpses and bits and pieces there of his earlier form, but you know, that's one of the risks you take, unfortunately, with footballers. You know, some footballers are injury prone. Some footballers will go through some of their careers without major injury or anything like that. So I guess that just affects his, you know, market value as per se, because the club's going to, you know, have to pay this person a salary even when they're out, and how much value are they getting on the pitch of this player, and is it worth, you know, a set amount of money, basically. So look, obviously, I'd love to keep him. I don't want to ever see Olmo leave, but hey, you can't get attached to players, unfortunately, especially at Leipzig, because we are prone to building young players up and then, you know, sending them on their way for football, which is one of the things I would say is disappointing. I'd like to keep our stars for a little bit longer, but that's just a part of how our club does business to, you know, cope with, you know, financial fair play and all that type of stuff. So.
Definitely, man. I guess, Farouk, like, do you have anything else to add, or let's go right into the predictions?
Yeah, I mean, Natsumoto, just another guardian.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, all the first legs, it was the rest of the fixtures. It all happened like expected. The stronger teams just barely straight past. There was no shutouts, or like, there were no finals, there were no 4-0s. It was all as predicted, yeah. So hopefully, you know, we see a more exciting second leg for every single fixture. But yeah, guys, I'll go with you, Justin. What's your prediction going to be for this? Okay.
My heart tells me 2-1 win to RB Leipzig, but my brain tells me 2-1 win to Real Madrid. I think you guys will win 3-1 on aggregate. I think we may score first, but then I just think that the quality of Real Madrid will just end up showing up, and you guys will just get, you know, get it done in the business end by the full 90 minutes. 2-1 score, Real Madrid win.
I mean, in these situations, it's a Champions League. It's a round of 16. You have to go with your heart, man. But I can totally understand that.
With my brain, because as much as I want RB Leipzig to win, I just can't see it happening. I mean, it'd be fantastic for the club, you know, to be able to knock off, you know, Europe's best in their own backyard and get further into the Champions League. I mean, we've made the next stage before, so it's not like it will be going as deep as possible. As we went as far as possible with Julian Nagelsmann a couple years ago. But I don't remember us ever having like a milestone win or anything like that. Like we didn't, you know, beat City in Manchester, you know, we got absolutely romped. We obviously we've never won at the Bernabeu. So, you know, there'd be a club first for that. And look, you want to see history get made. I just don't think that the squad itself is at that level just yet.
Maybe next season. Yeah. But yeah, we have to see what happens in this game, especially, you know, I know Farouk can attest to this. If we see both Paulsen and Sesko on the pitch, we're probably going to concede in that 5 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you, man. I definitely think so. And I do actually think, you know, like considering also like how we've been playing, like we've not been playing on all cylinders, like, you know, we have just returned back to normal. I kind of felt like towards the end of the year, like in December, January, actually, we kind of hit, I think it was in January, not in December. I think in January, we kind of hit, you know, a good patch, you know, where everything was, you know, clicking and you could see the, you know, interactions and interplay and, you know, something was building up there, you know. And I think right now we've returned back to, you know, our default of towards the beginning of the season when we play games and we always look like, you know, we barely, you know, scrape through, like, you know, it's a last minute goal or like even if we win, you know, with a convincing scoreline, but, you know, you as a spectator of the game never felt, you know, comfortable or convinced of the performances, you know. So I think it's just kind of, it's going to be a continuation of that. I don't know, you know, why it is, but I kind of feel like, you know, this is how Carlo Ancelotti rolls, you know, so this is what he does. So it's going to be, again, a very unconvincing game. Maybe Leipzig also might be the better team on the day, but it's going to be just a Real Madrid victory. So I think I'm going to go with, you know, Justin's prediction as well. I think a 2-1 will be just something like that. Leipzig doing what they do. I wouldn't be surprised if they score first, as you said, Jacob, but I do think eventually, like, Real Madrid, we get the business done at the Bernabeu.
Totally. For me, I'm going with something crazy since none of you guys want to see an exciting game, for fuck's sake. So I'm going to go with a 3-3 high-scoring second half, especially. I think it's going to be 1-1 in the first half. And, you know, 2-2, bang-bang, and then Bellingham finally sealing it for us in the second half.
Wow.
That 6-goal thriller at the Bernabeu, right?
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
That's going to be crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm totally down for that. I mean, sign me up as long as everybody goes to, I'm down for everything.
I'll actually be watching this game at work, so don't tell my boss. so I'll be like, it'll be like 6:30 in the morning. I'll be like screaming, you know, at work. So yeah. I'm not even sure if I'm working with a work colleague that actually enjoys football or anything like that. I do work with one of them that does. He just likes all teams, I think. So, right. Or he supports Real Madrid. I can't remember which one, but yeah, he'll give me a lot of stick if Real Madrid beat us. So, as he always does, he gives me stick all the time for being a Leipzig supporter. So, you get used to it after what, 12 years?
Yep, long time to grow some thick skin. But yeah, let's slowly wrap this up, guys. We have our predictions, our lineups. We just have to wait for the game to, you know, see something crazy. But yeah, guys, check out Justin over at his channel. The links are down in the description. The podcast name is RBL Talks. If you want to like go out and check out some of the only English content out there for RB Leipzig and how the Bundesliga is going, go check him out. His Twitter is also, I believe, in the comments down below. Additionally, I want to thank all of you guys in the comments, Flameboy and Hassan, who've been here keeping us company. Thank you guys for being here. And go check out our content over at Instagram, because we're going to be coming out with the fan cams. And Sid is going to be interviewing all of the fans that come out after, hopefully, a happy victory at the Bernabeu. So yeah, folks, until next time. Hala Madrid!
Hala Madrid!
Thanks for having me, guys.